You know football, and you pick winners all the time, so why not get paid for them at MyBookie? Bet single-game spreads, money lines, or parlays to increase your payouts. Low contest entry fees and over $500,000 to be won make it so you don't have to be a pro gambler to have fun. Getting started is easy. Just visit MyBookie.ag and use promo code ZABE on your first deposit to secure a double deposit bonus. That's promo code CHARLIE, ZULU, ALPHA, BRAVO, ECHO to get your first deposit matched dollar for dollar, all the way up to $1,000. MyBookie is a proven sports book that makes it simple to bet and to win. So make this your winning season, exclusively at MyBookie. Hey, Zabe here. I'm excited to tell you about our new partner of the show, Infinite Epigenetics. It's a first-of-its-kind health test developed with researchers at Harvard, Duke, and Yale. The thing predicts your risk for the top five chronic diseases, like diabetes and heart disease, and gives you a personalized plan to prevent them based on your own DNA. Here's what makes it groundbreaking. Infinite is the only test that looks at your epigenetics, which is how your genes change based on your daily habits. What you eat, how you sleep, how you move. It all acts like an on-off switch for your genes. Your health isn't fixed. You can change it, and Infinite tells you exactly how. The test is simple. Prick your finger, put a few drops of blood on a card, mail it back, and in a couple of weeks, your results show up in the app. You get your disease risk over the next 5 years for heart health, brain and memory, diabetes, kidney, and liver, plus 105 health markers and a personalized 90-day plan. Most people find out about disease when it's too late. This gives you the power to take control before that happens. That's infiniteepigenetics.com/ZABE, code ZABE. Skip the line, save $150 per test, and start taking control of your health right now. Live infinitely with Infinite Epigenetics. This is the Zabe Cast, from the mean streets of McLean, Virginia, to the Harvard of the West, UC Santa Barbara. You got 30 minutes for some honest conversation about sports, life, and more? Well, good. Buckle up and let's go. Here we go. Feeling kind of mean.
Yellow.
All right. I think we should have
there
each other now. Oh, my God.
I got
Thank
you.
God for that. Sorry about all the headaches.
That's okay.
I believe you would call that sorry for all the Michigas.
Yeah, Michigas is a blanket word which can be thrown over most problems and be somewhat self-explanatory.
All right, what else is there in Yiddish that would define the trouble I had connecting with you right now besides Michigas?
Well, there's one that I like to use. It's called Ungeblessen. That means you're just sort of...
I've never heard that one, Ungeblessen.
You never heard that? Ungeblessen. Yeah. Like, you know, like, for example, when I heard that Dan Quinn was hired as the coach of the Commanders, my reaction was basically Ungeblessen, you know, recycled coach. They didn't get the guy that they wanted in Ben Johnson. And I was happy to be proven wrong. He's been a very good coach.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah, he's packing up your ass right now. Good and hard. Mm-hmm. Tighter than a full gallon of Rocky Road from Baskin Robbins. He's packing it in there, Andy. Big win for the Commanders in L.A. We'll talk about that in just a second. According to Grok 3, Yiddish insults, I typed in Michigas definition, a Yiddish word meaning craziness, foolishness, nonsense, or senseless behavior. So I guess it's really not just confusion. It's a little bit more condemning than that. I then typed in similar Yiddish insults: schmuck, schmo, schlemiel, schlamazel, Shots and Beverage Corporated. Oh, wait a minute. That was a TV show. Nebish, nudnik, putz, klutz, schnorrer, kvetch, paskudnik, or schnook.
Yeah, paskudnik I've never used. Schnook is rarely used, but all the other ones I sprinkle in now and then, sure.
Okay, well then maybe you were not a schnook then for going to a football game, parking in a garage, and then being shocked to find out it takes a long time to exit said garage. That's where we begin today. Cut one, Andy's not-so-excellent parking adventure.
Okay, I am a season ticket holder for Maryland football. I bought tickets for the first time this year because my 3-year-old granddaughter is old enough to go to the games, although she's been tied up with birthday parties every game so far, but right. Is going to go this week against Nebraska. So I took some friends. I have four tickets. And in addition to the season tickets that I bought, the four together, I bought a season parking pass, which was offered as part of the package for season tickets.
And I bought cost? It in the.
Oh, yeah. But it wasn't How bad. Much? It was like $100 for the whole season. And it's seven games. I mean, the tickets are cheap. The whole season, yeah. The tickets are like $20 a piece. Maryland wants so people to go to the games.
You got $13.50 parking.
Essentially, yeah. And if you buy it a la carte, it's like $25. But so I bought it for the season. And I understand that when you park in a garage and you stay at a game which goes to the end, which this one for Maryland unfortunately did as they blew a 20-point lead, but the game wasn't over until the last minute or so. And so I went to the car with my friends, and I understood that on the third level of the parking garage, it was going to take a little while to get out. But what happened was they didn't let a single car out of that garage for about an hour. And it wasn't like it was just slow getting out. No car was leaving, not a single car.
Hold on a second. I need specifics, and I need specifics. Who was they?
Okay. Well, whoever was managing the parking for the Maryland, parking there is a attendance? There was a parking. Yeah, there was a person there, and the light colored vest or whatever that is.
All right. Was there a mechanized gate at the garage that required payment on the way out? They could have bottlenecked things. No. Okay. So,
no. You pay on your way in, and I have the app on my phone, so they scanned my app, and I went in. We were paid for when we went in, so all they had to do was let you out of the garage. Well, there's other roads that cross over.
Okay, but
there should be a cop that stops the other traffic on the road
and lets eeny, miny, mo. One garage per road we go. One of here, one of you, or two of here and one of you. But there's got to be some controlled exegesis from the garage, which you would hope that the flunky in the reflective yellow vest would be able to figure out. But apparently they didn't.
Right. I mean, you let out 50 cars, okay, and then you let the traffic on the road go past. You let 50, 60 cars go there. You stop that traffic. You let another 50 out of the garage. And so if it took us 20 minutes to get out of the garage, that's one thing. But we sat there for an hour before we were able to even move an inch.
That is, to me, excruciating and infuriating.
Right. And in selling me that parking pass, they should have said, hey, in sellout games, you may sit in the garage for an hour and not move, because that's the way we do the flow of traffic leaving games.
Right. Right.
Yeah, but they did.
Did you get any feedback from people who saw your tweet and said, well, you're not alone. We've been banging on this issue all year. Or did people say, you don't know how it works? Pipe down, old man. Right. Shake your fist at more clouds.
More or less that. Don't do that. Or a lot of it was, you know, park on the road. Well, the road is a long way from the stadium. And I don't mind walking, as you know, but when I do take my three-year-old granddaughter, she's not able to walk those distances. So to be relatively close in the garage was an advantage for me.
Yeah. Okay. So have you followed up with anybody at the administration at the athletic department?
Well, I tagged the athletic director. His name is Jim Smith.
I saw that.
Who came from the Atlanta Braves, but has experience at Ohio State, so seemingly would know something about big sellout crowds. And a sellout crowd at the Shoe is over 100,000. Sellout crowd at Maryland, I think, is under 50,000. So it's different ball game. Might know something about egress and ingress, you know, and and maybe could do something about that. And
okay,
they also
but you give, didn't really follow up. You didn't call them today.
Well, no, but the they do send out a survey to season ticket holders, hey, how did it go? So
survey.
I blasted them for that. I don't know whether they'll get back to me on that, but I did my due diligence as a season ticket holder.
Okay, today when you were on the air, on AM 1130, the sports capital.
No, no. ESPN 630, yes.
630. Okay. You're on CRS 630 now. Did you lead your show with this unexcellent parking adventure and blasting Jim Smith, incompetent boob that he is?
Well, I didn't call him an incompetent boob. I didn't lead off. I did the responsible thing and talked about the Commanders win first, but I did get to it in the first hour of the show. Oh, and okay. I expressed on the show pretty much what I expressed to you. But, you know, I'm on an AM radio station right now.
And you feel like your punching power is diminished from what it was at its peak?
It might be like yelling into a canyon, but, you know, somebody might hear it. And I've got a couple of responses on Twitter about it, and we'll see what happens. But there's going to be another game, same time, 3:30 this week. My granddaughter can make it. And I would imagine the crowd will be good. Losing to Washington, maybe it won't be a complete sellout, but Nebraska is a pretty big draw, and we'll see what the situation is.
All right, well, I'm on your side, but I really think you ought to dig in and get a hold of somebody in the AD's office and use your media status, if needed, as a crowbar and actually get an answer as to who's running the parking situation. I'm not expecting to just breeze on out of there, but you got to have an eeny, meeny, miny, moe system. What's going on? Who's in charge?
Right, right. No, that's probably a good idea. Maybe I'll try to reach somebody tomorrow.
Okay, so maybe you'll try.
I might. I don't know. I'll see. But I'm very disappointed in, you know, this was a great start to the season where they had started 4-0, and there was great hope, and people responded by doing what they wanted, selling out the stadium. But
right,
every game is on TV.
You had an experience that could possibly lead you to not going again, and that's certainly something that Jim Smith, I believe, should be aware of as the AD.
Yeah, I mean, realistically, so, they'd like to have sellout crowds and raise the ticket prices and all the good things that come with winning.
All right, so what time do you get off the air tomorrow?
11 o'clock.
All right, why don't you give them a call about 11:30 right before they go to lunch?
I'll give it a try.
He's not going to call. You're just wasting your time.
I think Jim Smith, please. Well, this is the University of Maryland. We have 400 people here named Jim Smith.
Is that even a real name, Jim Smith?
Yeah, right. Is that what you write in the hotel registry during the day?
That's right. That's what ball players use to go cheat on their wives or their mistresses on the road, checking in as Jim Smith. All right, cut to taking command in L.A. Andy, what a win for the Commanders against a battle-tested Charger team with Jimmy Hardpaw at the helm. That was quite the win for the Commanders.
It turned on one play. I mean, it's really remarkable because it was and Washington has done this.
The punt return for a touchdown negated by the roughing of the punter? Oh, okay.
No, there was a receiver, Johnston. This was in the second quarter. And the Chargers were driving to make it 17-0. And there was a hit. The ball was fumbled and it was recovered. And Washington went down the field, scored a touchdown. They have this guy named Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt.
Bill, a really interesting we're aware story. Of Bill. Yes, great story, old Bill. He had a bomb game.
Yeah, he's good. He's not just like one of these little scat back runners. He runs between the tackles. He carried the ball only 11 times. He averaged almost 8 yards a carry.
Yeah.
It was just and he had 2 touchdowns, and that made the difference. And then also there was a series at the end of the half where it appeared that they had really blown it. They were punting out of their own end zone. And the punter was not only run into, but roughed, which was very fortunate because the punt, as you say, was returned by Ladd McConkey. That was brought back. Washington got the ball, and instead of being behind, at that point they would have been 17-7. They were able to go down the field, kick a field goal, make it 10-10 at the half, and then score 17 unanswered points in the second half.
Yeah, I'm watching the play right now. Lattimore did blow up Johnston. Quentin Johnson was a first-round draft pick who had the dropsies badly in his first 2 years, I think, in the league. And people were like, this guy sucks. And he finally kind of figured it out. He was having a big year. So Lattimore, who also, I thought, had been viewed as kind of washed at this point, had that play, and he had a pick in the end zone against Herbert, too, didn't he?
No, he didn't. The pick was made by Sanserstil, okay. And Lattimore actually recovered the fumble. The hit was by Quan Martin. Martin knocked the ball loose, and then Lattimore recovered. But yeah, he's been a disappointment. That one was a reach. They did it last year when they were, you know, at the midway point at the trade deadline. Oh, we might be pretty good. We may, you know, make a move here for a all-pro cornerback.
Okay. And all right. I guess I saw the highlight difference. So Sanrasil made the interception in the end zone. But,
right.
And the punt return, I mean, it was clearly a running into the kicker, roughing the kicker, because they caught Tressway right on the leg. Luckily, it wasn't too seriously hurt. But McConkey's return was electric. And then to be able to hurdle over a forward-diving Tressway at the end zone and just kind of land like normal in the end zone, like what? It was like the coolest freaking play I think I've ever seen.
Well, it was the punter trying to make the tackle. Let's not get carried away.
It's still a hurdle. So there you go.
And how did
Jaden Daniels look in his first game back from his knee injury?
He looked shaky at the beginning, lack of explosion, but as the game went on, he got more and more comfortable, and he makes such a huge difference. I mean, his numbers weren't overwhelming, but when he needed to make a play, he really is so good at that, and having him out on the field makes an enormous difference.
All right, cut three, the Sanchez assault, day three. Boy. More Boy. Is coming out now, including video footage, security footage outside the hotel where the assault took place. I refuse to call it an incident or a situation. Mark Sanchez assaulted a 69-year-old man just trying to do his job past midnight for reasons that are unknown at this time, but I would bet good money it was because of a either just drunken rampage or drunken and drug induced psychosis, because who gets into a near-death fight over a parking spot for a truck?
Was
that
it
was
even
there
a...
Yeah, it was a loading dock. The guy was just doing his job. Something,
you know, his job
Sanchez
was
to suck the grease out of the restaurant.
Yeah That's so he had to be in a particular spot.
Yes.
I would imagine the grease hose is in no other spot than where he was draining it into his truck. That's a job. He's 69 years old. I mean, God bless him, still
he
working.
He shouldn't even have to do it. Guy's probably
I don't
not
know
making
what
enough
financial
money
situation.
Or can't retire. But the poor guy, and he gets assaulted by this dickhead, Mark Sanchez, who everyone assumed, Andy, he's a great guy. How many great guys have we thought we knew in sports that turn out to be not great guys?
Do you remember this?
Darren Sharper would be one that comes to mind for the Green Bay Packers, a serial rapist and serving prison time right now.
Do you remember when he was coming out of USC, the Commanders wanted him badly. They wanted to have him, and he was, you know, coveted by a bunch of teams, and the Jets were able to get him. And I believe, and I really like him, Steve Young referred to him as presidential. Do you remember
that? Yeah, I remember because I harped on it with you on the air ago. Did you hear what Steve Young said? They said his interview went so well that the Jets described it as almost presidential in its maturity. Oh,
I thought it was
Steve
Young that said it after talking to him.
It was Steve Young that said it, but he's relaying what the Jets said about it. Because Young didn't interview him. It was the Jets.
I thought he did. I thought he met him in the process. But Carroll.
Yeah.
Carroll said he shouldn't leave. He had another year of eligibility. And you remember he had sat behind Matt Leinart for a couple of years at USC, only started for a year.
I want to say that was Matt Barkley he said should not leave.
I don't know. I think Barkley was later. But I remember he was a guy that really impressed a lot of people. And he was pretty good on TV, I must say. I mean, he wasn't great, but he was pretty good.
That's been thrown away. He will certainly be fired. So they upgraded the assault charge on him to a more serious version
felony.
Of a felony, because the photos of the 69-year-old man in the hospital are horrific.
Yeah.
So
terrible. I mean,
of all the stories we've seen, I mean, think about this. He already had the ignominy of owning the butt fumble as his one claim to fame. And now this trumps that, and it will cost him millions of dollars the rest of his pro career, rest of his announcing career, and likely some jail time, I would say.
Yeah, possible. Yep. First offense, we'll see. But yeah, that's look.
You assault a guy and put him in the hospital, I fucking hope you better do some jail time.
Yeah, we'll see. But I would say this. We'll see. He's got money, which, you know, often changes things. But Tony Kornheiser said this years and years ago. He said, in the post-OJ world, we don't know anybody.
We don't know
I remember standing with Tony in the newsroom in 1994 watching the TV coverage and hearing him say, OJ can't be a suspect.
Of course not. He's too funny. Yeah, I loved him in the Naked Gun series. That guy?
Well, no, but he was also in the media, and he charmed everybody. They liked him, you know?
Yeah. You know, one of the things I love most about Indeed is that it makes hiring so fast. In the minute I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. If you are overwhelmed by the hiring process, or you've been struggling to get your job post seen, listen up. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. Your post jumps right to the top of the page for relevant candidates, so you reach exactly who you want faster. And it makes a huge difference, according to Indeed data. Sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. There's no need to wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this podcast will get $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the podcast by saying you heard about it right here on this pod. Indeed.com/Charlie Zulu Alpha Bravo Echo. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring, Indeed, is all you need. You know football, and you pick winners all the time. So why not get paid for them at MyBookie? Bet single game spreads, money lines, or parlays to increase your payouts. Low contest entry fees and over $500,000 to be won make it so you don't have to be a pro gambler to have fun. Getting started is easy. Just visit MyBookie.ag and use promo code ZABE on your first deposit to secure a double deposit bonus. That's promo code Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to get your first deposit matched dollar for dollar, all the way up to $1,000. MyBookie is a proven sports book that makes it simple to bet and to win. So make this your winning season exclusively at MyBookie.
Yeah.
Cut four, dropped it at the one. This kid for the Arizona Cardinals has joined a long list of players. I read the names yesterday on this podcast. I forgot DeSean Jackson, who I think did it twice, once in college and once in the pros. I want to hear your theory on why this keeps happening all these years after Leon Lett should have been the last and final, oh shit, don't do that ever again incident.
Well, Leon Lett, his is more excusable than these. He was taunting and holding it out. He was intending to cross the goal line with the ball. Don Beebe, getting blown out, had enough pride and hustle to knock it out of his hand.
Either way, it's called being careless with the ball before you've scored.
Why does this still...
Yeah, careless, stupid, Andy. What's the difference? So why is it still happening? What's your operative theory?
It's just maybe a form of taunting. Like, I'm so gone, I'll just toss it away. You know, and I don't know. The coach, what's the name of the coach? He's a defensive guy, and he used to be with Philadelphia, the coach of Arizona. He was asked something about coaching.
Shane Steichen? No, Steichen's with the Colts. No. This guy, you're right. He was super pissed.
Yeah, but he was asked about it, and he said, oh, yeah, we actually coach those kind of plays. How do you coach it? Hey, lunkhead, make sure you cross the goal line before you toss the ball away. Let me give you an instruction on this. Here, coach, toss me a ball. Watch me cross the goal line, and then I can toss it away. And the defensive back
Yeah.
Yeah. Jonathan
Gannon is the head coach, and the running back is Amari DiMarcado. Don't know if he's going to be cut today or not. I know that the Jets cut the punt returner that Fair caught the ball at the two, and that didn't help them this week because they were freaking awful as well.
You know this also, I saw this, as Hubie Brown would say, a staggering stat.
This is a staggering stat.
Have a 22-point lead, which is what Arizona would have had if he scored the touchdown and they kicked the extra point. Teams that have a 22-point lead in the fourth quarter until yesterday were 1,276-0. And now they are 1,276-1.
Well, I don't think they ever got to the 22-point lead, but had they, should they should have.
But they would have.
They would have, yes, exactly.
The touchdown,
they were 1 yard away from that. Well, the other plays, including the interception that turned into a touchdown, the inter-touchdown, as I call it, was right out of a Benny Hill montage.
Yeah.
And then did you see the Kyler Murray low light of him doing two circles, literally two back to the defenders, two circles in the pocket, and then threw the ball away backhanded? Did you see that play?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. That's.
I mean, how can you even function with either guy? At this point, the Kyler Murray contract looks as bad as any of the other monster deals given to quarterbacks. Even though he may not be the worst of the bunch, he may be a click better than Tua Tagovailoa, although I'm not sure about that. All I know is, like in the movie Casino, where, you know, De Niro's character says, either way, I can't have it. It jeopardizes the whole operation. Kyler Murray is in jeopardy of the whole operation. He's not nearly good enough, and he's a little tiny shrimp.
He is an example of the desperation to have a quarterback. You cannot win in the NFL if you don't have a good quarterback. And he was good enough to get that contract, but not good enough to take you to where you want to go.
All right, so that brings me to cut five. Other NFL calamities like this one in Arizona. I'm thinking of Jim Marshall running the wrong way for the Minnesota Vikings. Nearly how many yards?
I think it was 70 yards, and it was against the San Francisco 49ers. The ball was fumbled by Billy Kilmer, who was then playing running back. Yeah, not playing quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers. And, Marshall picked it up and took it the other way. And they were yelling at him, you know, turn around, turn around. He was fortunate in that he threw the ball away in the end zone because it could have been recovered by somebody from San Francisco for a touchdown. Fortunately for him, the Vikings won the game. But that,
so
that
it was only
was
a
his
safety. Twas only a safety, right. not a touchdown the other way. Okay. Right. I was thinking of next calamity, Garo Yepremian in the Super Bowl. I kick touchdown, where a botched hold led to the shrimpy little blocked.
And here's what happened: the ball, they were lining up to kick the field goal late in the fourth quarter to make it 17-0 to put the final cap on 17-0 season, and the kick was blocked by Bill Brundage. The ball bounced back to Yepremian. The move was to fall on the ball. Oh, instead, Garo decided to throw the ball. The ball was tipped up in the air. Mike Bass picked it off, took it the other way for a touchdown, and now it was a 14-7 game. And Washington actually got another chance to get the ball, but the Miami defense was too good, and they were able to close out the game 14-7. The epilogue to the story is really cool, because 1 year we were at the Super Bowl, it might have been a Miami Super Bowl, and Garo was making the rounds, then a retired Dolphin player. And he told the story that season he was paid $20,000 by the Miami Dolphins to be their kicker. That offseason he made $40,000 on the banquet circuit telling the story of what he did.
And didn't he say in his Armenian, I said, whatever his nationality, he's Armenian. Did he say, I keep touchdown? Is that what he said?
No,
touchdown? Or was that from a TV commercial?
his first team in the NFL was the Detroit Lions, and one of his teammates was Alex Karras. And Alex Karras, like most defensive linemen, hated kickers.
Big
so
bully.
In mocking him, he would say, "Oh, we got this guy," and he says, "I kicked the ball for a touchdown." And everybody laughed, and you know, and Alex Karras parlayed that into a movie and TV career too. So worked out for him as well.
Yes, Garabed Sarkis, aka Garo Yepremian, an Armenian Cypriot born in Larnaca, Cyprus, died in 2015, and looked a lot like Don Garagiola. If you look at pictures,
Joe Garagiola. They were both bald. They were bald. Yes, two bald men with fringe on the side. Okay. That's about as far as I'd go.
Okay, fair enough. Other calamities, NFL calamities.
Leon Lett in the Thanksgiving game.
Okay, and I guess Garrows was not a calamity because they still won the game 24-7. They still finished the year perfect. I would say that the miracle of the Joe Pisarcik fumble is the greatest calamity because that cost them the game.
Yeah, that was I think it was McVay was the name of the coach who instructed him to do the handoff. The only defense that you can make for that is, in those days, a quarterback couldn't give himself up with a knee. And the Giants thought, the Eagles were getting a little bit too chippy. So rather than have Pisarcik get clobbered, you know, when he's just trying to run out the clock, they said, let's just hand off to Zonka. And it's Zonka, you know, it's like it's a battering ram of a fullback. And what do you know, ball pops loose, Herman Edwards takes it back, and the Eagles win.
Well, the calamities, though, are what makes the NFL so popular and what helps keep that money machine churning. Because as I've said for years, you watch a basketball game, a baseball game, basically the same thing happens. There's nothing extraordinary about, he dribbled up, he hit a shot. Oh, he hit a dunk. Okay, you know, or made a dunk. Or, you know, a baseball player hits a home run. I mean, even the Vlad Guerrero Jr. home run, as theatrical as it was, wasn't like the first time you've ever seen a grand slam in the postseason. But you will see in the NFL calamities and oddities and incredible plays that you have literally never seen before in your entire life. I think the whole Arizona collapse, the sequence of events is such that you're like, I cannot believe I watched this. But there you are.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, cut six. Feinbaum yanked from ESPN. This story broke today that apparently 1 week after he went on Clay Travis's OutKick channel and said he was considering a run for Senate, as a Republican, ESPN just canceled all of his regularly scheduled appearances on their daily yakking shows and apparently was not part of College Game Day, which is, I think, highly unusual. ESPN's Bill Hoffmeyer pushed back at Clay Travis, claiming that he had been pulled from the air. But then, after other outlets reported it, Hoffmeyer softened his stance to say, well, we were going to give some other people an opportunity in case he did run for office. Double standard much, ESPN?
Well,
Stephen A. Smith said he's considering running for president as a Democrat.
Yeah.
They gave him $100 million contract.
They put that in his contract. I mean, they were so afraid of losing him, God knows why. And I guess Feinbaum didn't have that kind of clout. So he violated some rule that they have about, for office, though.
You can admit it's a double standard, though.
Well, I do remember this, that Robin Roberts, while she was working for ESPN, before she went to ABC's Good Morning America, was openly campaigning for Bill Bradley. And somebody pushed back on it, and she didn't even understand why she couldn't do it. You know, like, come on. This is not, there's a different time, too, in this country. But, you know, that's really not your job.
But you do know there is a double standard at ESPN. Big time.
There always has been. And you, what you used to hear, if you'd hear Vital say something, you'd hear one of the executives say, oh, that's just Dick. Yeah. Well,
no,
but
the double standard is Republican versus Democrat. You know that, right?
Well, I don't know about that. I think there's the politics. I think there's the politics end of it. I think that's they are letting Stephen A. Smith do his thing. and they're not letting others do it. I don't think it's necessarily Democrats and Republicans. I think it's politics.
It's pretty clear, Andy.
I could send you examples, but not to me. Okay. Yeah, I understand.
Was there anything I could send you that might change your mind, that you'd go, hey, even though I'm a Democrat, you're right, it's a clear double standard?
No, it's a double standard for Stephen A. Smith, I'll tell you that.
All right. Yeah. But it's not a Democrat bias.
Not that I see it. No, I don't. I don't. Okay. No.
And you don't want material to support the other
opinions? Well, you can send it to me. I'd be interested in reading it, sure.
You're not going to read it. Cut seven. It's a great line from a former colleague of ours, our predecessor, the man who kind of opened up sports talk radio in Washington, D.C. many years ago, the great Ken Beatrice. He would always say, Andy, you know, I've always said more games in the NFL are lost than they are won. And after watching several games of this very nature, all I got to say, Andy, is no matter what you thought of Ken Beatrice, no matter how much he might have exaggerated or fantabulized about his accomplishments, credentials, scouting teams he claimed to be in touch with, he was never more right than that, was he?
Oh, true. Yeah. I don't know if that was an original Ken Beatrice line, but he adopted it. And probably most of us heard it from him for the first time, but it's absolutely true.
Right. Cut eight, do you love football? I saw an interesting clip about how the Lions and their GM, Brad Holmes, had settled on drafting Jahmyr Gibbs, I think about a round or so ahead of where experts had predicted he would go. And it was because of a pre-draft interview with him, and they released the video of it where they walked Gibbs through a bunch of situations and said, okay, what about this? What about that? And they just loved his answers. They said, not only is this guy explosive on the field, but he also just loves football. He knows football. He loves football. And today we were talking about how, you know, the whole loving football thing, don't ever just assume because a guy is drafted in the NFL or playing in the NFL that he actually loves it, right?
Oh, Chris Cooley said this to us a decade ago. He said, you would be surprised at how many guys don't love football. They've just been doing it. Oh, yeah. They've been doing it for their whole lives. They got really good at it, and they got to the point where they got insane money, and they don't walk away from it. I heard this years ago. Who was the bust wide receiver that the Redskins
Michael
drafted?
Michael Westbrook.
Westbrook, yeah, top of the draft. And at the time, I heard that he didn't like football. He played football because he could, and he looked like an Adonis. I mean, he was 6'4", muscular and fast and everything. But Matt Millen, I think, was the one who said it to me. He said, yeah, he plays football because he can, not because he loves it. And the ones who succeed at it are the ones that really love the game.
Well, there's a lot of kids, you know, Johnny or Timmy, when they're 10, they're really big. And so their mom signs them up for football, and big Johnny or big Timmy, who's bigger than his peers at his age, is able to knock kids over as an offensive lineman. He keeps growing. He stays bigger than the average size person his age. He keeps knocking kids over in high school. Kind of takes a little bit to the game because it's, you know, opening some doors. He's got girls noticing him now, right? And then it's like, hey, dude, you're going to get a huge scholarship at some college. And he's like, well, I got to do that then. Then he plays pretty good in college, and like, you're going to be drafted and make millions. All along the way, he might have been, I can take this game or leave it. I don't need it. I'm just better at it than most people.
Right, and you got the whole family, you know, hopes and dreams riding on this player, and you don't want to let everybody down by saying, yeah, I don't really like this.
Yeah, it's hard to find the ones that truly love football because a lot of them fake it. A lot of them have been coached up to say the right things, right, or to look presidential, Andy. They're in their interviews.
Well, and you just don't know. How many of them still love it in their 40s like Tom Brady did? I mean, to be able to approach it the way he did at that age after everything he won. And I don't think it was just because he wanted to accumulate more Super Bowl championships than everybody else. I think he really loved the game.
No, you got to be – Brady was a sociopath. And I say that with the highest of compliments in mind in terms of winning games. By the way, somebody had a great tweet. They said, I now think it was about 150% Brady. End tweet. And everyone knew exactly what that referred to. Can you talk about counterfeit Bill for a second down in Carolina? This is ugly.
This is, did you see this morning that Bill put out an edict that no one was allowed to talk about the Patriots win, which was a double-edged situation. He didn't want, you know, any praise for the Patriots because he's at war with them now.
What do you mean nobody could talk about it? None of his own players?
No, nobody in the North Carolina football organization, players, staff, anybody could discuss it, put anything out on social media. But the problem in particular is that the quarterback was Drake May, who is North Carolina royalty. Right. Not just Drake, but his brother, who played on the North Carolina National Championship basketball team. So it's a disaster.
So I guess I had read an account yesterday that said that their AD, Bubba Dickerson, he wasn't really into this hire, that it got pushed on him by others, both politicians in the state who wanted it to happen and other powerful boosters there. How are they going to get out of that situation?
Got to buy it. I imagine, you got 4 years left on a 5-year deal? It's like $40 million. You got to write the check because it's not just him. It's the girlfriend. You got to eradicate that whole situation.
It's his sons that are also on board.
Oh, yeah.
It's his boy Lombardi, who's also at the gravy train. I mean, there's a lot of snouts in that truck right now.
And I say this as a person who is as close in age as maybe you can possibly get to these two coaching legends, Pete Carroll and Bill Belichick. Carroll just turned 74, and Belichick is turning 73. Carroll's team is an embarrassment with the Raiders. Did you see any of the Colts game? Oh, yeah, they're horrendous.
Turn inside out. Geno Smith, 3 more picks. I mean, he's a turnover machine. He's got 9 on the year. It's brutal.
Yeah, and that's the guy he had to have. You know, he won big for me in Seattle. Really? What did he win? Well, you know, he was good. So they bring him in. Yeah. So you know, and I know this, that you get to an age and you want to work as hard as you did, but you just can't. And you're stuck in some old ways that used to work. And now there are new ways that you're slow to get your head around. It just, you know, old man Don Shula was pushed out the door in Miami. You know how old he was? He was 65. Vince Lombardi, when he was coaching the Packers in his last year, I think was 55. They used to call him the old man. Tom Landry, who coached forever in Dallas, out at 64. I'm sorry. It's a quaint notion that, hey, it's great. Look, Pete Carroll, 74, looks 54. Yeah, but he's 74. It just doesn't work anymore. You can't do that.
All right, cut 9. Are you finally out on Al Michaels? Bad reviews on Thursday's game. It's not good. He doesn't provide the punch, the oomph, the urgency, the tone, or the tenor required for big-time NFL games, especially not standalone primetime games. You're out?
Well, I was sort of out before, but the big one from this past game, because when he was in his prime, he was known as the guy who knew the rule book backwards and forwards.
Yeah,
because
he was a
gambler. There was a play. Right. But there was a particular play where there was, I believe, a completed pass, and they spotted it 15 yards forward because, as you could clearly hear the referee say, roughing the passer. So the 15 yards got tacked on, and he couldn't understand where the ball was being spotted. I mean, that's basic knowledge of the rules, which, you know, are passing him by now. So he's 80. It's refer to my last comments about coaches.
Luckily, Andy, you're a spry 67.
Right. But nobody is knocking on my door to do a drive time radio show in a major market right now. Like, you know, if WIP or WFAN had an opening, they wouldn't call me. I'm too old. They may like me, but I'm too old to do it. Yeah, it's just a matter of the way it is.
All right, finally, cut 10. Jane Goodall, you've got a story.
Jane Goodall. Okay.
Jane Goodall, the chimpanzee researcher. I thought you were talking about Jane Skinner, TV personality from Wisconsin, who married the commissioner, Roger Goodell.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I believe I spelled, I think Goodell is spelled with an E. I spelled it with an A correctly.
Okay. Okay. So, yeah. So Roger Goodell is a barrel chested spokes ape, which is what I call him.
Yeah.
And Jane Goodall studied primates, chimpanzees, and also apes. Okay. Go ahead.
Correct. Now, I don't listen to much sports radio anymore, so I don't know if this topic flies, but I think it would have back in our day. I saw some photos of her when she was very young. Like most of the photos you've seen in recent years, she's an elderly woman. She died at 91.
She's been old forever, don't you think?
Right.
She hasn't. But, yeah, okay. Was she a dime piece when she was young?
Look at the photos of her from like the early 60s. She was a babe. And the question would be,
oh my God, I'm looking at her right now.
Yeah. So the question,
damn,
the sports
she was
radio
fine.
Question, in the spirit of Ginger or Marianne, if you were in the position to date her, would it be a deal breaker in that she had this great interest in the chimpanzees and you would have to share her with the primates? Would that be enough of a deal breaker? That would be my question.
Okay. It would be a deal breaker on two fronts. Front one is I'd be afraid of a male chimp considering me a threat and a rival and tearing my arm off and watching me bleed out. So that's problem number one. Problem number two is I scan the Google images of Jane Goodall. She put her lips on a lot of chimps. I don't want to be sharing her lips when she's been kissing chimpanzees as part of her research.
Okay, but you don't know when you date a woman what her previous dating history was.
Well, but you're saying is it a deal breaker that she's like, okay, I don't mind dating, but here's what I do for a living. I study chimpanzees and I hang out with them in the rainforest. I'd be like, yeah, but your breath smells like chimp. So yeah. Yeah, that's probably
well, I would imagine she brushed her teeth after she kissed the chimp, but I'm just speculating.
So the chimp breath is not a deal breaker for Andy Pollin. Noted. Duly noted.
But also, would you, let's say you met her at a bar and you had this great evening with her and maybe even follow up with a date. And then you say, you'd like to go for like a walk or a bike ride on set. No, I can't. I'm working with the chimps. And then you go, I'm not sure. Because
You're working with who again? The what again? What's going on here?
Yeah. I it's been a long time since I played in that league, and I really didn't play all that well when I played. So I'm just saying that it just is an interesting.
Yeah, no, you know what, Andy? That would have been a great sports radio topic that has nothing to do with sports. And is the kind of sports radio that I enjoy doing the most. Sports radio that essentially says, hey, we're all guys here. You know, we're all guys because we're here talking sports. Hold on to the sports for just a second. We'll give you a score in a minute. What about Jane Goodall when she was young and a dime? Would you put up with the chimps just to get a piece of her? 877-794-1973. Go to
just,
the phones
just,
on
you know.
That.
It's been a long time since I've done that kind of sports radio, and if it exists now, I wouldn't hear it anyway. But it's just brought back a thought when I saw those photos, because like you, I had thought of her as an elderly woman, you know, very attractive for her age. But then when those photos surfaced, you went, whoa, man, back in the day. How about that?
Yeah. Bet them armpits weren't shaved at all, though. Which she
I don't know.
I mean, she's out in the bush. She's out in the jungle. She didn't have grooming supplies out there. She doesn't have a Maybelline kit out there. All right, come on, Zabe.
You know, she was married twice.
Okay,
she did have two and shirt. Yeah, she was. She had one husband who I guess
he
felt like
guy. Okay.
Yeah, and then the second husband died of cancer about a long time ago, and she never remarried. But a thought.
Sadly, despite all our research, we still don't have chimps that can reliably drive us to work. But hey.
No, we don't.
One of these
but,
days.
But I don't know if that was her goal. I don't know if that was
no,
what
it
she
was not
about.
Her goal. Her goal was just to learn. Her goal was just to learn more and to become more communal with nature. And one of our close primates who branched off from the evolutionary tree that are not quite human but have many human characteristics.
Yes, exactly.
Tell you this, a lot of teams would like a chimp that could play third base and hit for power. one that's a lot cheaper than $30 million a year. But, you know, we're still a ways away from that, so we'll have to see. Andy, as always, a joy to talk to you, my friend, and we will see you next week.
All right, Dave, take care.
You know football, and you pick winners all the time, so why not get paid for them at MyBookie? Bet single-game spreads, money lines, or parlays to increase your payouts. Low contest entry fees and over a half a million dollars to be won make it so you don't have to be a pro gambler to have fun. Getting started is easy. Just visit MyBookie.ag and use promo code ZABE on your first deposit to secure a double deposit bonus. That's promo code CHARLIE, ZULU, ALPHA, BRAVO, ECHO to get your first deposit matched dollar for dollar, all the way up to $1,000. MyBookie is a proven sports book that makes it simple to bet and to win. So make this your winning season exclusively at MyBookie.